Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word comes to us on this Sunday of Pentecost from the Gospel of John in the 7th chapter. Once again, we hear at verse 37, "On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.' Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." This is God's word. The sensation of thirst occurs when there is a loss of water from the blood cells of our body. And the symptoms break down something like this. First, there's the dry mouth and the craving for fluids. Then there is a decrease in the production of saliva. Then, difficulty swallowing. If the body still doesn't get the liquids it needs, the skin becomes dry and somewhat wrinkly. A fever develops, sweating stops, the kidneys shut down, and death can ultimately result. Dehydration can take place with the loss of only 8% of the body's water content. And under normal conditions, with no water intake, we lose 2.5% of the body's water content per day. Under very ordinary conditions, we could experience fatal dehydration levels within 3 days of no water intake. I'm getting thirsty just talking about it. While Israel was in the desert, God instituted 3 week-long festivals for the people to observe after they had entered the Promised Land, namely Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. The purpose of each was to remind the people of the awesome ways that the Lord had brought them into the Promised Land. Passover celebrated their great deliverance from Egypt. Pentecost celebrated the way that the Lord had fed Israel with food while in the desert. And Tabernacles celebrated the way that the Lord had supplied water for their thirst while in the desert. Today, I'd like to explore the connection between Tabernacles and Pentecost, and I think that you may be in or a surprise. What happened during the Feast of Tabernacles? Well, everybody was instructed to build huts or tents made out of branches that they would live in for an entire week. It was like a big church campout. This was to remind them of the huts that their ancestors had lived in the desert for 40 years. One of the rituals of this festival reminded everyone of the way that God had provided water from the rock at Horeb. Each day during the week, the high priest would take a water pitcher made out of gold and fill it with water, and then he would walk around the stone altar to symbolize the walk in the wilderness, and then he would pour the water into perforated silver bowls, and the water would run down all over the altar. And while he did this, the trumpets would sound, and the people would sing. They would sing Isaiah 12, verse 3, "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." And they would sing Zechariah 14, verse 8, "On that day living waters shall flow from Jerusalem." And then on the 7th day, the last and great day of the feast, the high priest would carry the pitcher of water around the altar seven times, representing the entire journey of Israel through the desert. And then he would pour the water into the bowls, the trumpets would sound, the people would sing, and water ran down over the altar and flowed out to where the people were gathered. Pretty vivid. Our gospel reading this morning takes place in Jerusalem during the Feast of Tabernacles. We learn that Jesus is present at this festival of water. And John tells us on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now that really ought to make your jaw drop just a little. Jesus gives the Feast of Tabernacles a whole new spin. He identifies himself with the rock of Horeb. He claims that this event in the desert was a preview of coming attractions, and that coming to him and drinking of him is the focus of a new kind of life. He was going to provide the Holy Spirit, living water, for a spiritually dehydrated world. And so, it was on the day of Pentecost that the true rock, Jesus, gushed forth with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit was poured out on his disciples, and rivers of living water flowed from their hearts. They gushed with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and everyone who was present heard it in their own language. It was for them, for each of them. During the festival of Pentecost, just as the festivals of Passover and Tabernacles were sort of pilgrim festivals where people would come from all over the Mediterranean region and the larger world to celebrate, there were men and women from east and west gathered there in the temple courts. The living water, the Holy Spirit, was poured out upon them. The Spirit flowed into them. They swallowed the Spirit down. They were refreshed and renewed as they heard of Jesus' sacrificial crucified death and his victorious resurrection, not merely as historical events, but as actions taken to benefit them. Thousands of people were washed in baptismal water that day, water that in every way connected them to Father and Son by the Spirit. And then, eventually, they went home, where rivers of living water flowed from their hearts to the people around them. Today, the river of living water flows all the way to you and to me. Like Israel of old, our souls thirst too. Like Israel of old, we know what it means to go through a time of dryness. And like Israel of old, we know what it means to try and address or solve our dehydration on our own. But no other water will do than the living water of the Holy Spirit. You see, a person can be adrift, surrounded by water. A person can be adrift on the ocean. But if that person drinks the ocean water straight, things will go very badly. We are always being tempted to try to satisfy our spiritual thirst by drinking from the wrong water. It looks so inviting. We are just sure that it will quench our thirst for love and acceptance and peace and security. So we drink deeply of pride. We drink deeply of accomplishment and recognition. We drink deeply of the drive to justify ourselves. We drink deeply from the drive to look good in front of others. But that water never lasts. And worse yet, it does more harm than good when we drink it down. That's why at the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus stands up and shouts, "Come to me and drink." That's why at the Feast of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter stands up and shouts, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." You and I need Jesus. We need to trust that He was perfect for us. We need to trust that He was punished for us. And we need to trust that He still pleads for us. Jesus never said, "Come to me and I will show you how to save yourself." No, He said, "Come to me and drink." He is the source. He is the spring, the fountain, the rock from which all love flows. He is the end to our frantic, desperate thirst for approval. The Holy Spirit giving you the gift of faith in Jesus enables you to finally understand that everything that is true of Jesus is true of you. You are fully loved. You are the light of the world. You will live forever. The Father is well pleased with you. Drink of this water and let it flow then from your heart. This Pentecost, let's be known as those who brought healing water to a dehydrated world. In Jesus' name. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, on Pentecost, you poured out the Holy Spirit on your disciples, just as water flowed from the rock at Horeb. Please, keep pouring, that we might believe your gospel and tend to your world. Amen.